wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
One chance in 100 million. Who would take it? It is marvelous to consider the long-suffering of our God. In God's word, we see God's long-suffering and giving us speech to repent even to a proud and wicked young man who is bent on killing his own father. Yet that background of God's grace is stained by the defiance and unrepentance of Absalom and his tragic end, as that oak gallows held him to be the target of those 3 darts of divine justice. This Old Testament story we shall now contrast with a New Testament young man of equal wickedness, yet he becomes a marked trophy of God's grace. For while one defiantly refused to act on God's offered mercy, yet the other took action just in time. 1,000 years after that oak became an unmerciful gallows for Absalom, another acorn dropped into the lap of Mother Earth, and this developed into one more sturdy oak. Surely it will not become a gallows, for the timbermen have cut it down, but it does. For it is hewn and fitted with a crossbeam to become a Roman cross to crucify the wicked. The eye of the living God had followed another youth as he defied all restraint, and his wild pursuit after filthy lucre leads him into a malefactor's life. With a comrade, he launches into a life of desperate wickedness and then is suddenly arrested by a Roman soldier. Taken in his sin, he hears his verdict: death by crucifixion, red. And laden with that heavy oak, he trudges up Calvary's dark hill with his companion in sin. But who is that one walking with them on that road of death? He is Jesus, the Son of God, who came down from heaven. But what is he doing on that road and in such company? 750 years before that day, Isaiah the prophet had foretold. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Yes, to dark Calvary he went, that he might be the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. But justice hastens on, and soon the hill of execution is reached. That oak is laid down, and great wooden pins hold the malefactor fast. Divine justice must conquer. Up again stands the oak, but now in a rock socket, while it clutches its victim, as the Absalom gallows did. Neither yielding nor pitying, as it twists and groans, the bitter wages of sin must be paid. The once unruly youth and wild wanderer is now pinned to the spot. As his muscles tighten in mad rebellion, his lips open to scorn the holy Son of God dying by his side. Since justice now holds its rebel, will not God smite it once? Behold the majesty of divine grace. No godly parents ever prayed for this wild youth, yet now a friend is near to plead with God in behalf of one for whom prayer was never made. Neighbor, you need not have praying parents to be saved. Jesus has prayed for you. For a moment the scorn ceases as Jesus, with a tender voice and in earnest tones, pleads with God, making this his dying request: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The babel of scoffing resumes, but one voice is hushed. One heart is touched and melted, and a ray of heavenly light breaks through a sin-darkened soul. God hears that prayer of Jesus, and mercy lingers its brief space of repentance. A sense of guilt and shame shakes that once defiant breast, and a cry directed at his old partner in sin is heard: Dost thou not fear God, seen out in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. We indeed justly sounds his cry of true repentance. As to the Savior he turns the eye of faith. Repentance clears the vision to see in Jesus the one and only Lord and Savior, as it tears loose the grip of sin and prostrates one at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Neighbor, repent, and you too will see the light. God's gracious work now deepens, and faith as noble as ever seen confesses, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, for resigning sin, I bow at thy feet to be thine alone. Remember me, for who needs thee to save them like unto me, the worst of sinners? When thou comest into thy kingdom, for thou art the king, and though thou shalt die, yet thou shalt live and reign on high. Heaven and earth marvel at this confession of Jesus, the dying Savior, that he is Lord and King. Instantly salvation is assured by our Savior's memorable words. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The burden of guilt leaves that sinful heart. A heavenly peace fills its gap. An eternal union with Christ is then and there realized. The Savior calls the believing sinner mine, as the lost sinner claims his Lord. Neighbor, this is the experience of true conversion. Do you know that real peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Can you claim Jesus the Christ as my Lord and my Savior? To such the Lord speaks, I have redeemed thee, thou art mine. But what has happened to the bow and arrows of divine justice? Its bow is bent, and its arrows aimed at that dying malefactor. He is spared, as the Savior claims him. But whence shall go the arrows? Who will be the substitute and bear his sin and receive his punishment? God's justice offers mercy only when a substitute is found. Three arrows pierced Absalom's wicked heart. Whence shall fly these three? God's target is his Son, and the unsparing judgment like piercing arrows enter his holy breast. Blood, life blood, cleansing blood, precious blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, pours forth, and redemption's price is fully paid. A cry of deepest agony is heard. He hath bent his bow and set me as the mark for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. As the darkness deepens and our Lord in distracting agony suffers for our sins. And then a cry of triumph. It is finished, and the Savior's cross is emptied. While paradise he enters as the glorious victor over Satan, sin, and death. Salvation's great work is done to the glory of God and the blessing of all who will have him as their own Lord and Savior. To all this, God bears his testimony in his glorious resurrection and ascension to heaven. The crosswork is finished, the tomb is empty, and the throne is filled by Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. But we return to that dying thief on that oak gallows. To hasten death, the soldiers break leg and limbs, and pain is awful. Yet on that repentant thief's face, we see a look of perfect peace. And ere he dies, we seem to hear him whisper, Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, and his eyes close in death. His body is thrown into a potter's field grave, but where is he gone? Ere the clock could tick a second, he was with Christ in paradise. Now some might say, I think I'll do like the dying thief did. Let me ask you, which thief? Remember, there were two thieves at Calvary. One was saved so that none need despair, and one was lost, lest men should presume that all get saved in the hour of death. Oh, neighbor, hear me good. One thief, cursing and scoffing, went to hellfire, dying by the Savior's side, dying with the Savior praying for him, dying seeing the Savior's blood, dying as his converted comrade was pleading with him to repent, and yet refusing all, he died in his sins, lost forever, lost. With such a human lesson before us, let no man dream that he will be converted in his last hour. We thank God for his grace to that one thief, and even now that same grace reaches out to you, neighbor. Don't despair. Hear the Savior's own words. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I assure you, you can come. You have the inherent ability to both repent of your sins and to surrender to Jesus Christ as your Lord. You can come, and you may come. God's door of mercy stands wide open before you, and written over it are these words of your Savior. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Yes, you can come, you may come, but will you come? You alone can decide that. I will come. In these days when people take awful chances, risking dangers and losses that can never be repaired, and even death, some might say, preacher, I regulate my life on the law of averages. If I wait till my last days, what chance have I? History shows us many who profess when they fear death, but when they recover, they live the same old ungodly life. Why then should we presume that those who profess and die are truly repentant? We must say, who knows? Only God. Therefore, we must get our average from the divine statistics as given us in the Bible. In God's Word, we read the history of millions who, as armies or as individuals, died in their wickedness. And out of that vast, innumerable multitude, we have one and only one record of just one man who was converted in the hour of death. What, then, is the average? One in every million? No. 100 million? No. More than even that. Now, neighbor, would you take a chance with anything so hopeless as that? Surely not. Then don't wait. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Your precious soul is at stake, and the duration is God's great forever. Play safe and get saved today, right now. Jesus, your Lord and Savior, draws near to rescue you from a life of sin and an eternity of judgment. Do this right now, and you'll never regret it. In real repentance concerning your sins, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ to confess him as your Lord and to receive him as your Savior. Then to you shall come his assuring word, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And one day your tombstone can be engraven with these words of certain hope. He's with Christ in paradise. But if you further delay, then on your tombstone we shall engrave these words of eternal despair. In life, he took his chances and lost, and in death, he lost his own soul forever. Don't toss your soul into the devil's gambling machine, but commit it to the Lord Jesus for salvation, and do it now, right now. Amen. Neighbor, I share with you this revelation. As I was considering a loved one so near eternity, the Holy Spirit preached to me. He reminded me of the dying thief converted in his last hours. That man was so repentant, he rebuked his fellow malefactor and confessed himself only worthy of such a death. At the very side of that lost sinner was Jesus himself, the Savior of sinners, who came to seek and to save lost ones. But he, the Lord Jesus, did nothing, and he said nothing, until that convicted sinner called on the name of the Lord as he looked to Jesus in faith. Then and only then did the Lord Jesus go into saving action, and so it will be with every sinner as well as the lost so near eternity. Neighbor, it's up to you. God will be as one afar off, and Jesus will be as one passing you by until you call on the Lord Jesus to save you. No one can call for you, but if in stubbornness and in self-sufficiency you will not call on the Lord Jesus to save you, your last opportunity of mercy and salvation will pass, and the doom of your soul will be sealed forever. And who did it? It was not God, nor was it the devil. You did it. Neighbor, provoke God no longer by your indifference. Snap out of your neglecting God's great salvation and call on the Lord Jesus today, now.
call. Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I need thee to save me. Thou hast died for my sins, and thou livest in heaven. Oh, Lord Jesus, hear my cry and rescue me and make me one of thy redeemed people to live for thee as my Lord and Savior. That call will bring his very presence by your side. His peace will calm your troubled soul, and you will know that he has heard your cry and he has saved you. And you will prove that the Bible is true when it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Neighbor, if you die by an accident, you'll have no time to call on the Lord and be saved. And if you die by a long illness in the hospital, you'll be so doped up you will not know anything. And when you come to your last days, you'll find the devil and the world will hold you fast, and your proud heart will not humble, and your stubborn will not yield. It will be the impossible time for you. So take no chances. But now, right now, when your mind is clear and the Lord Jesus is waiting for your call, cry, Lord Jesus, I'm lost. Please save me now. And he will now. But if you postpone it till your deathbed, you're defying God. For he has said, now is the day of salvation. And he calls, come now. The Bible offers salvation only to those who come now and to none others. It's now or never. How solemn. These are messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant David Brinkman.